Hi, my name is John Porter, and thank you for joining us today. As we're recording this video, Congress, U.S. Congress and the Senate are looking at an option to increase employment for individuals with disabilities by almost 20,000 people. They have a program that's called the Ability One program that was created by Congress and the administration in their infinite wisdom in trying to find a way to help millions and millions of Americans that need help the most. You know, currently there's about 54 million people across the country that has some form of disability. And many of those are looking for employment. And again, credit to the US government, they created this program called Ability One. And Ability One came about because Congress, again, realizing that business can't do it alone, and government can't do it alone. So they created this opportunity to find employment within the federal complex on different types of jobs, but it's like a carve-out, only encouraging employment of individuals with disabilities. I have a guest with me today, a good friend. I'll call him Lieutenant Colonel for the moment, but Tito Crispo, who is a friend of mine. He's VP of Operations with Chimes, with facilities from Pennsylvania to Carolinas to in the Mid-Atlantic region, and certainly here in D.C. He works with Chimes. They have about 1,300 employees, including Fort Bragg as an example. But I've asked Tito to join us to explain the importance, that one piece of this Ability One program that is so important, and that is working through community-based nonprofits across the country. There's about 370 nonprofits across the country today that are working with the community to help these individuals that need help the most. So I thought I'd bring in an expert. Tito, what is it that you're doing and your organization doing to help people within the Ability One program? How does it work?
Well, thank you for having me today. It's important to emphasize, as you state, what is Chimes, first of all, for those that don't know. Chimes has been around for 75 years, and we have operations all the way in 4 to 5 different states, all the way from Pennsylvania to North Carolina. And as Mr. Porter said, we have over 1,300 employees. 700 of those are disabled for the work or with severe disabilities. And in the Washington, D.C. area, we have specifically the Pentagon, Library of Congress, Department of Interior, Department of Commerce, and the Tax Court, the International Trade Center, and there's some other places where individuals with disabilities are supporting the federal government and all the different federal services contracts, doing a phenomenal job every day. These individuals probably will have a very difficult time working in other places if they're not in the Ability One program. And I want to talk a little bit about what we do and how we support individuals with disabilities. First of all, we support individuals with the training. The training required, sometimes we have employees that are first time ever in the workforce, and they have challenges understanding the human dynamics, the performance dynamics, productivity dynamics. And we do a teach, coach, and mentor program process that is connected with the vocational support specialist in Chimes, and those individuals support how these employees are performing, not only from the performance technical side of it, but also from behavior management, professional development, and now upward and outward movement, mobility from inside and outside the Ability One program. We also have job coaches that are supporting our employees. That's something that we don't see in the profit world. We take the time to help individuals when they have to be retrained, when they have to be monitored or assisted in different areas, and provide accommodations for them based on their skill, knowledge, abilities, experience, or disabilities, and how they are basically moving through the operation, to the companies, and on in the promotion or outside the company. It's very important also to emphasize that The Ability One program, some have specific benefits packages for individuals with disabilities when they're working in our companies for medical, dental. We do accommodations for them to, when they have to have treatments or they have to have medical appointments. We really are flexible with our workforce, something that you don't see also in the profit world, because it's more focused on performance, productivity, and time management. We have experienced individuals that are working with Chimes that they do go outside the Ability One program. They go into the corporate America. Then they return to the program stating that those organizations were not flexible, that we did not understand how they needed to pace themselves and their disabilities or limitations based on their disabilities. And we do have that understanding, especially also when we accommodate individuals to work together as a team. And we basically do a collaboration exercise where we, based on their skill sets, then we identify who's the best place in what team so they can be more effective and provide.
You know, if I may add something. So I know there's it's complicated to explain this program. And by the way, you're doing a great job because you are serving the community in a very special way. But people would also like to know, what is the pay scale like? What are the, you mentioned benefits, but what does the pay scale look like for your average for your employees?
Well, that is a very good point, because we meet the executive orders developed by the administration lately, and we're paying $16.20 as a federal minimum wage. But also we are in compliance with the collective bargain agreements that some of the unions and some of the sites that are supporting the federal government demands, and also the WDRs, the wage determination rates that are posted by the government once a year. We meet all those qualifications. So it's not only the medical benefits and their package, it's also the great wages and salaries, and it's also the CBAs and the WDRs that are incorporated in these contracts.
Well, you also mentioned a little bit about transition and working with an individual on a very one-to-one basis. So what programs do you provide in opportunity and learning where one of these employees may want to go next? You did mention some of them come back because of the comfort that's provided by your nonprofit, but kind of how does that work in the transitional to if they want to relocate or move up in their current role or go outside to another company?
Well, that's a great point, because I'm not speaking really for Chimes necessarily, but also for Source America and the Ability One program, which is nationwide, all the way from Hawaii to Puerto Rico. And we have in Source America, we have over 2,400 contracts at the federal level that we can place individuals in any state. There's over 450 military installations nationwide, and we can place also in those contracts, in those opportunities and activities. We help individuals to transition to the new jobs, to give them, you know, some type of mentorship in terms of online applications, in terms of requirements for the job descriptions, so meeting their qualifications, and then transition to the actual places. So we can not only do internally as Chimes we do in the East Coast, but also we can support with other MPAs that we have, sister companies across nationwide.
So is there a risk, especially with the minimum wage average that you're suggesting and you're providing for your employees, is there a risk that they could lose other benefits by with the salary that or the pay that they're receiving from you?
Well, as some of us know, the Social Security incentive that a person with disability receives called SSI, demands that they work and their income is under a specific amount, let's say $1,200 a month. And the individuals, if they work and they make additional money above that level, then there's a qualification for the SSI might discontinue. So we do have the flexibility to place individuals in the part-time job status or accommodate their schedule. So if they are severely disabled and they need their enrolling in the SSI program, then they have that no in the direct effect to the was in their case.
Because that is a problem really right now all over the country. I know something that you're working on and we're working on is trying to find a way to help with that gap. which can be a disincentive at times for keeping the job going because they don't want to put their benefits at risk. So I applaud you for that. Another thing I'd like to ask you about is, well, we certainly appreciate corporate America and the ability for them to hire, especially these large corporations. And we understand that these some programs are available, but how is it the nonprofit can do things differently than corporate America when it comes to some of these larger corporations? How is it that the nonprofit community can do it better with more compassion? Because that's what I hear all the time.
Well, correct. And as I stated earlier, in reference of the accommodations and the flexibility and how we partnership with other organizations is going to be critical. This is not a problem, as we and I talked about earlier, that is going to be solved in the next 90 days or a year. We have 3.8 million high school grads every year in our nation, and 3.8 with a 10 to 15% of them with disabilities. We have also the Department of Defense transitioning out over 200,000 veterans from the DOD, and some of them 20 to 30% with disabilities looking for job opportunities. So this program is not only affecting us now, but in the next 5, 10, 15, or 20 years, and it's something that is going to continue to grow. It's something that has been proven to be a problem that we have nationwide. So the Ability One program, the nonprofit agencies, and all the skill set that comes with the accommodations and the management of individuals with disabilities, all the way from their schedules to make sure that they have they follow their protocols, medications, treatments. We have to incorporate all that in our planning factors when we build staffing plans for federal contracts.
We also, hear a lot about integration and how important that is. And I know it's a priority for you at Chimes and the nonprofit community. I'm honored to be able to see and talk to a number of the Ability One employees that are working on Capitol Hill. Some of those are yours, of course, and they're integrated into working in the community and entrusted by, of course, the legislative process. They're entrusted by the Department of Defense. They're entrusted by a number of other federal organizations. How does that work? I mean, how do we assure that they're assimilating and working within the community and that it's very integrated? How does that work, Tito?
Well, that's a great point. Competitive integrated employment, CI, is a topic that we talk about at the NPAs all the time. We're not building a group of people that have disabilities and putting them to work. We're integrating them with crew leaders, with supervisors, with management, with customers, with the, Department of the Army civilians, Department of the Army military personnel, and also there is not only in the military side, but also in all the agencies that are in support of those military installations. So they are completely integrated at all times. And we promote the growth and the promotion, promote that opportunity for individuals. So CIE is a very, very, very important topic for us, integrating individuals so they have the potential to get promoted, to go to other organizations and to be developed professionally.
And maybe we can take a moment to dig into that a little bit more when it comes to the contracts. Now, there is a misunderstanding that this is program is asking for earmarks, asking for a special funding. Doesn't it work in that you're applying for a contract for positions and for work that's going to be performed already? It's in the budgets of these different agencies. It's just that individuals with disabilities have the ability to have a special treatment through Ability One, right? Because technically, this you're not asking for more money. What you're asking for is really additional contracts that are already available, right?
That is correct. So, you have your Small Business Administration, you have your veteran owns, woman owns, different categories of federal contracting. These are jobs and services that are required by this federal government. And the only ability that we have is that we, as they go into the procurement list, they're set aside for specifically companies that are MPAs in support of the employment of people with disabilities. Not every company in the small business or in the corporate America is set up with the proper systems, protocols, and procedures to employ individuals with disabilities. And as these federal contracts in their procurement list are directly tied to MPAs or nonprofit agencies, it's a phenomenal opportunity for the federal government to employ individuals with disabilities, get them an opportunity to be part of the workforce instead of part of a welfare system that might not be the long-term opportunity for them, for their parents, for their family members, which is also something that the MPAs do a lot. We contact sponsors, parents, and we work with them to make sure that these individuals that have the specific limitations and needs achieve their maximum potential.
Well, what I'm going to do, and we just have a moment left, I want to summarize my understanding of what the request is of Congress. You mentioned SBA, Small Business. Small Business Administration provides 23% of all federal contracts will go to different carve-outs within the small business world. There are, of course, multiple programs under that 23%. In essence, that means 23 cents of every dollar is set aside for small business. What I hear you saying is, right now, the Ability One program does not have an assured percentage of federal business. It's what's available for that agency at that given time. What you're asking for is a 1% goal through the Department of Defense. And also, Department of Defense is encouraging it. They did a four-year study on it, right? And you're supporting Department of Defense language. In essence, what that will do will create about another 20,000 jobs, right, Tito?
That's correct. And, you know, the federal cost, our federal customer, there's over 20 federal agencies that receive support from the MPAs. The four largest ones is the Department of the Army, Defense Logistics Agency, the Navy, and the Air Force. And in this case, the Department of Defense is requesting or is able to work with us in the future to expand to 1% and to expand those jobs. And so it's already, as you stated, it's already jobs that are happening. If they come from the Small Business Administration, if they come from the MPAs and Ability One program, we just want to expand to 1% to give more individuals with disabilities the opportunity to have employment in the future. And again, this is not something that's going to get better this quarter or this in this administration. This is something that's going to affect the next four or five administrations as individuals with disabilities continue to be part of our workforce.
Tito, I want to say thank you for all you're doing, your service to our country, but your continued service to our country where you are today with Chimes as Vice President of Operations. And we appreciate all that you're doing for those individuals and families that you work with. Again, today, Congress is debating whether or not to increase the opportunities for veterans, moms, dads, loved ones that may have had an accident and that you and I are prone to as soon as we leave this video. That's what Congress is considering. So we appreciate you taking time to explain it and all the wonderful things that you're doing. So Tito, thank you. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you very much.